حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. Muhammad Hanafiya is the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. In the battle of Jamal, we find that he is present. And Amir al-Mu'mineen, he instructs him to go and attack. He goes, abides by the instructions of his father, returns. Again, Imam instructs him to attack. And this was on and on and on. And upon the instructions of his father, he carries out the instructions and returns. A point comes when he looks at his father, doesn't say anything, does not object. Imam understood what he wants to say. That is, he was saying that, why only me? Why not my brothers Hassan and Hussein? Why don't you send them? He didn't say anything, he just looked at his father. Father understood what he wants to say. And then Imam says that, you are my son. You have to be a shield for them, for Hassan and Hussein. Why? Says, they are the sons of Rasulullah. So you have to protect them. We find that there were instances when poverty was such that Imam, to safeguard and to protect Hassanain, Zulfiqar, the sword of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he had intended to sell it for 4 dirhams so that he gets some money to take care and to look after his sons Hassan and Hussein. He says that, I did everything throughout my life so that I could protect them, take care of them. So for Imam Hassan and Hussein, we find that there is a special regard by Rasulullah, special caring by Amir al-Mu'mineen, that whatsoever he has, all his children, says, all of them have to be a protection, a shield for Hassan and Hussein, who are the sons of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. There's a book written by marhum Shaheed Dast Ghaib, and it's called Dastanhaye Shigift, Amazing Stories. And it's regarding respecting someone who has attended a majlis of Abu Abdullah, who mourns for Hussein ibn Ali. Now, many a times we find that in every majlis, in many centers, there are people who are nosy. They just want to say something regarding whosoever, whatsoever. Many a times we find people, they want to mock, they want to be nosy, in easy words. Says that this young boy in that majlis, he was looking, staring at the women's side. Now, whatever the reason was, now whenever we see something as such, it is not binding on us that we immediately declare a war or immediately we say something. No. He says that when I saw that boy looking at the girls, I quickly came to him. He was staring, and then I slapped him. He says, I slapped him that very moment. My hand, it started aching. He did not know what the reason was. Gives massages, goes to the doctor, gets ointments, medication, but nothing, no cure at all. All of a sudden he is inspired that the reason and the cure for this pain of his is what he did to that boy. Finds him, comes and says sorry to him. Now this asking and pleading, saying sorry to someone for the wrong that we have done, that is tawbah, that is repentance. And if that individual forgives us, then it is corrected. If he doesn't, then that remains a sin and we will be accountable for that. He says that when he forgave me, that pain went. So immediately saying something about someone, being nosy in whatever way, in whatever manner, that is not acceptable. Nor, for example, anyone who gives away his life in the way of God is a shaheed of that caliber. Inshallah, we'll touch this point in the forthcoming nights. One of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is Ma'az bin Jabal. He is martyred in one of the battles, and when he was being buried by Rasulullah, the mother of this shaheed, she comes, says to her son that good news, glad tidings to you, that you fought, you served Rasulullah, and now you find that Rasulullah, he is in your funeral services, he is burying you. So glad tidings to you, good news to you, that the heaven is waiting for you. Rasulullah, he comes to the mother and says, who are you and why are you giving away the heaven for everyone, for your son? If you want to know the reality, he is being punished just now. The reason for him being punished is that he was bad towards his spouse, towards his family. Being ill-mannered towards the family, it has its own effects. Maybe a person has died as a shaheed. And we do find in riwayat that sometimes people, they were martyred, and people, they thought that they are shaheed. But Imam says that that person, for example, who was martyred in this battle was a shaheed himar. The reason why he was named and tagged as shaheed himar in Arabic means donkey, says that because his intentions were not God. His intentions were that to come to that battlefield to find something as a booty, as this ghanimat, and he wanted a donkey for himself, and in finding and searching that donkey, he got killed. So intentions are important. What we are after is important. We have to be sincere in everything. Ikhlas is and plays the vital role in our amal being accepted. A majlis held for Aba Abdullah is all pure. At-tayyibatu lit-tayyibin. Pure is for the pure. So if we want to benefit the maximum from such a majlis, that ikhlas, sincerity in us also has to be there. So that we also are attracted by the purity of such gatherings and a majlis which is held for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. And among the tips that are given to us by our mentors are that come to a majlis of Hussein with taharats, with wuzu, with all ikhlas, with all sincerity, that we are coming to the house of Aba Abdullah to benefit, to cry for Aba Abdullah. And not every cry is equal. If that crying and shedding of tears was with ma'rifah, with awareness, with knowledge, knowing the aims of Aba Abdullah, what he wanted, why did he give away his life? Based upon all that, the productivity of these tears that are shed and what we learn from such a majlis also will be different. Otherwise, not every tear is equal. That tear carries more weight, which is in line with the aims of Aba Abdullah. We love Aba Abdullah, no doubt. He too loves us, no doubt. But if you want to know how much exactly do we love him, we have to see how much of a reflection of the presence and existence of Aba Abdullah we are. Now all this a lesson to myself first. Quran says, "In kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni." That is, if our claim is that we love Allah, Allah says, then be obedient to me. How much obedient? That what we like? No, that what he likes. What he wants. It is said, Luqman, he was a wise person. And when he was bought by his master, he says, "What is your name?" He says, "Whatever my master likes to call me." He says, "What do you love to eat?" He says, "Whatever my master gives me." "What about your clothing?" says, "Whatever my master desires and wishes me to wear. That is ubudiyat. That is being an obedient servant of a master. And that is what Allah wants. And for that reason says, based upon the amount of obedience we have, He also bestows. So if our claim is that we love Aba Abdullah, obedience also has to be there. The more the obedience, the more the effect of this azar, the more the effect of these tears that are shed for Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. Inshallah, we'll talk a little bit about Iman today. Iman means faith, belief. In the definitions that we have for Iman from Ma'sumin alayhim as-salam, they say that Iman is the key to prosperity, to success. Prosperity meaning the eternal prosperity. Even in this dunya, if you want to prosper, Iman has to be there. But for that eternal prosperity, that is the vital need, the key factor. That is, Iman means belief in the one God, belief in the justice of God, belief in the concept of prophethood, belief in the concept of imamat, and belief in the day of judgment. This is Iman. So one of the most important Islamic teachings wherein the true success of man lies is Iman, and the good actions are the effects of that Iman. Here this ayat was just recited, that if our claim is that we love Allah, Allah says, be obedient to me. So when we are obedient to Allah, actions they increase. The more the actions of an individual, we find that the stronger his Iman is. If you find someone he worships a lot, it means that his Iman is stronger. Inshallah, we'll come to this point when what are the effects of this Iman and how can we see as to whether or not a person is a mu'min. Quran mentions that the signs of a strong Iman, and on the contrary does mention that if man does not possess Iman, no matter what good he does, all of that is going to be just a waste, all in vain. Now we live in a community wherein so much of good is seen. Now all this good, is that of any use? Yeah, in this world, as far as we are concerned, yeah, it may be good, it may be beneficial. But when we talk about good, when we talk about actions, it means eternity for our akhirah. So good in this dunya, if we want to judge and see as to whether or not it is good, we have to see whether it is based on Iman. If a person was a mu'min and he did good, it is going to be good. If a person was not a mu'min and did good, he will benefit only in this dunya, not in the hereafter. So Iman means those five fundamentals we have to have faith in. Having faith in some of them is equal to having faith in none of them. All five have to be there. Quran says, it is only Iman and with good deeds that will find salvation. Says, الَّذِينَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. That is, those who are going to be safe are those who possess Iman, and that Iman was topped up with good actions. Or elsewhere says that الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Mu'mineen are those who have that faith, that is, the five fundamentals are secure, and that is topped up with salihat, meaning good deeds. Now, those who do not have that Iman, that is those five fundamentals, they don't have faith in them, says, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَرَمَادٍ اشْتَدَّتْ بِهِ الرِّيحِ. A beautiful example, a parable Quran sets, says, on a stormy windy night, if you see ashes on a rock, and this wind, it blows away those ashes, no trace remains on the rocks. Says a person who has done all good throughout his life, that good is like that ash sitting on that rock. Says that good which he had done, because it wasn't firm, that is, Iman does not exist in that individual, all the good which he had compiled, collected throughout his life, is like that wind which blows away those ashes and nothing remains. Or elsewhere says that والذين كفروا أعمالهم كسراب بقيعة يحسبه الظمآن ماء. Siraj means mirage. That when you are driving your car on a hot day, for example, you see at the end of that motorway, highway, something appearing as water. But when you come closer to it, no, it wasn't water at all. It was nothing. Says, A'mal, actions of those who do good without having faith are like that mirage. That they come to it and they find it's nothing at all. So that is something which Quran says, that if we want our actions to be accepted, the requirement for that is that we have to have that firm iman. Without iman, nothing will be accepted, no matter how much good we do throughout our life. If a person does not possess iman, that good action of his will never stay intact. Now what will happen to all the good that he did? Quran says, الطيبات للطيبين والطيبون للطيبات. Good is for the good, pure is for the pure. We believe that the heaven is all pure, it's all good. Now to enter into the heaven, goodness is required, purity is required. How do we get that purity? From this iman. The fundamentals of an individual, if they are safe and secure, Tawheed, oneness of God, justice of God, belief in prophethood, belief in Imamat, belief in the Day of Judgment. If someone possesses these five fundamentals, it means that he possesses the basic requirement of goodness, of purity. Heart of an individual has to be pure, and this is how it is purified, that is by having firm belief in God, His justice, Nabuwwat, Imamat and Qiyamat. Now one of the tips inshallah that will be given and reminded here in this session today is regarding this the aqaid that we have. Now if someone doesn't possess these aqaid and just keeps on doing good, Quran says he will benefit from that, but only in this dunya, not beyond this dunya. So someone who has worked hard for 60, 80 years in this dunya, was good, all services provided in the community, all that only for this dunya, nothing of that will remain for his hereafter. Because iman was lacking, Quran says, ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ. That someone who does good but has no iman, it's just darkness over darkness over darkness. Has a beautiful ayah in Quran, says that وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. That someone who does not possess nur, someone who Allah has not given him nur, light, there is no light for him. So what is that light? Iman is that light. If we want to find our way out in this dunya, if we want to find our way out in the hereafter, light is needed. What is that light? Iman. And in that beautiful ayah in Surah Al-Hadid, and also in loads of riwayat that we have from Ma'sumeen, they say that in the hereafter, to find your way out, you need a light. And if you possess that light in all these thorny, bushy, dangerous woods, you can find salvation. Says, how is that? Says, possess this iman and you will find your way out. Quran says that this light is from iman. Or the other example which Quran mentioned says that oceans, you see them dark, and on a dark night, you've got these waves and huge, bigger waves on top of it. In such darkness, and also on top of these waves, you have dark clouds. In such a dark night, you can't even see your own hand. To be safe in that danger, you need some light. And that light you need is iman. With iman, you will find salvation. Now those who do good in this dunya without iman, Quran says, مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ. In the hereafter, they will get nothing. No share at all. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. Now, the tip is this. When a person is giving away his life, there are these shayateen, the Satans, whose task assigned by shaitan is go and switch people from their iman. If it's a mu'min, because the oath which shaitan has sworn is that I will drive everyone away from Allah throughout his life. And especially at the time of a person's death, he says that I will do all my best that I switch him away from iman, so that a person, he dies as a disbeliever. Now, one of the du'as which helps in this aspect is du'a adila. And normally it is recited by someone who is dying. In hospitals, if you get news that someone is in ihtizar, in his last moments, it is wajib on the person who has got this news that he faces this person who is giving away his life towards Qibla. That is, feet towards Qibla, such that if he sits, he sits facing Qibla. So you turn him facing towards the Qibla, that is the feet facing towards the Qibla, sit by his side and recite this dua. And if you cannot recite that dua, remind that person of what his aqa'id are, and they help. Now, in this dua, towards the end, we come to this phrase, says that now, once in a while, if you get time, listen to it, recite it, so that these aqa'id of ours, they are reminded to us before we die from this dunya. Or talqeen, which is wajib to be recited after a person has been buried, and once he is laid in his grave for the first time, and then when he is buried, it is wajib talqeen be recited. Talqeen is reminder. Reminder of what? Reminder of faith. That we remind that marhum of what his aqa'id were. Now here the dua says that, Allahumma ya arhamar rahimeen, inni awda'tuka yaqini hadha wa thabata deeni. That Allah, I am depositing this yaqeen. Yaqeen means faith. What is that faith? In that oneness of God, in his justice of God, nabuwa, imama, and qiyama. Now when we recite this dua, we ask Allah that I am depositing this aqeedah, yaqeen of mine before you. And because you are the trustworthy, and there is no trust better than God. And then we say to Allah that keep this safe with you. And when it will be time of my death, give this yaqeen of mine back to me. Especially when those shayateen will be switching me and working hard to drive me away from my iman, give that iman back to me. So the tip here is that in a majlis like a majlis of Aba Abdullah, a few moments we have to come to our senses and sincerely we talk to God that Allah, now regardless of du'as, not reciting anything from any book, just a few moments, quiet moments with Allah, that Allah, this is my faith, that I believe in you. I believe in all the attributes of yours. I believe in all the messengers you had sent. The first is Adam, last is the Prophet. And I believe in Amir al-Mu'mineen. And I believe in all the Imams after him until the 12th. And I believe in the day of resurrection, the day of judgment. I believe in the grave. I believe in Munkir. I believe in Nakir, so on and so forth. Whatever we are taught, whatever we are told, we bring that to our mind and then say, Allah, I want to deposit this with you, and when it will be time of my need, give it back to me. So that way we win over shaitan, and then when he will be seconding and sending all his associates to drive us away from iman, we will win. So that is a simple tip which we learn from this dua, and that is by reminding ourselves of what our aqeedah is, our faith is. Because faith is iman, iman is noor, noor is yaqeen, and all this is one package. The other blessing that we have, it's the blessing of urwatul wusqa. Urwa means rope, cord. Wusqa means strong. What is that? That is this blessing of wilaya, blessing of imamat. The concept that we have faith in, that is Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam. The strongest rope of ours, the strongest hope of ours. That is, if we want to learn something, it is from this household of wahi. If we want to know something, it is from this door of wahi. That is from Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam. Everything can be taught. We cannot speak. We don't know how to talk. Now when it comes to talking to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, how can we? We don't know. What words shall we use? Here we seek help from Ma'sumeen. They have taught us how to approach Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, how to talk to Allah. And by all these various tips and reminders and tools they have availed for us, and that is by association with Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam. Numerous numerous blessings have been given to us by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, countless, endless. One of those blessings, it's this blessing of Iman, and as it was mentioned repeatedly, like every other ni'mah, like every other blessing, it is not guaranteed that it will be with us. It can be taken away any moment, any time. We have to try our best to save it, secure it at all times. And the other blessing, it's this blessing of imamat, which is the greatest blessing that Allah has given to us. Many a times we come to a point, and in the ideology that we have an ideology which is of the kuffar. What is that? Quran says, فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانِ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَامَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمَنِي. That is, man comes to a point in his life that when things are given to him by Allah, he says that Allah is being kareem towards me, generous towards me. And if Allah takes it away from him, that is, if you have job, if funds are fine, if everything is good at home, in all these blessings that we need in our day-to-day life, everything is safe and secure, we say, Rabbi akramani. And if anything goes wrong, job is at stake, problems at home, universities, etc., etc., we say, Rabbi ahanani. Allah has insulted us. That is the belief of kuffar. What we are told is that whether he gives, whether he takes, mu'min has to be same, no change in him. And it is difficult to be same and safe and secure and having one phase throughout our life, that is tough. But the teaching is that whether he gives, whether he takes, it is upon him. If he wants, he can give. If he wants, he can take it away from me. And we have to be the same human and the same servant of Allah. Now saying that Rabbi akramani, Allah has exalted us, Allah has elevated us by giving, and Allah has defamed us by taking away, that is the concept and the ideology of the kuffar which Quran has mentioned. We think that material blessings are the only blessings and special favors of Allah, whence this is not the case. Many a times we find that there are no material blessings in anyone's life, but still they are great. Prophet Musa asks Allah, who is the best of people who you love most? Prophet Musa is guided to a person, and then he comes by that lake, by that river, sees a leper drowned in every illness, in every pain. He is glorifying and thanking Allah. He says, this might not be that person which Allah has sent me to. And then Allah says, you wanted me to guide you to someone who I love most, who he loves me the most. This is that very person. And then Allah says to him, just look at him. Jibreel is sent with all those package of illnesses he has. Jibreel is instructed to take away his eyesight. Now someone who was that ill, drowned in that much of pain, he takes away the eyesight from that person. He says, I saw him, he's still thankful to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then Prophet Musa says to him, why do you thank him? You had that little eyesight, that also has been taken away. Then he says, because of all the favors which Allah has upon me, I thank him. He says, what favors? You had nothing on you, and this little sight which you had, that also has been taken away from you. He says, no, a lot of favors he has on me. Says, what is the favor? Says, you asked Allah to guide you to someone who he loves most, and that is me. Was there anyone else in this town? So that is that grace of Allah, kindness of Allah, mercy of Allah, which he has on a few. So always it's not as such that only material blessings are the blessings which Allah bestows on an individual. Therefore, we have to know that this ideology of kuffar, Rabbi akramani, Rabbi ahanani, is bad. That if he gives, it's his grace. If he takes it away, that too is by his own grace. According to the ahadith that we have from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, a true mu'min, his greatness, it cannot be perceived at all. He says that la yaqdiru al-khalaiqu ala kunhi sifati Allah azza wa jal. Allah says that the creation, they can never perceive the attributes, the qualities of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Impossible. They can never. And then continues and says that فَكَمَا لَا يُقْدَرُ عَلَىٰ كُنْهِ صِفَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فَكَذَلِكَ لَا يُقْدَرُ عَلَىٰ كُنْهِ صِفَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Says, as you cannot perceive the attributes, the greatness, the qualities of God, you cannot perceive the greatness of Rasulullah. And then continues and says that such you cannot perceive the greatness of the Imams. And then he says that وَكَذَلِكَ لَا يُقْدَرُ عَلَىٰ كُنْهِ صِفَةِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, that you cannot perceive the greatness of a mu'min as well. Now who is a mu'min? Someone who has faith in that oneness of God. Now just having faith that I believe in God, that is the basic requirement. Mu'mineen are also of different calibers. Not everyone is same. Depending on the amount of iman he has in God, depending on the amount of hope he has in God, depending on the amount of iman and his performance, his actions, everyone is different. So much so that we find in riwayat that they say that if Salman found out what exactly is in the heart of Abu Zar, he would have killed him. That is the different stages of iman. Not Salman can perceive the iman of Abu Zar, not Abu Zar can perceive the iman of Salman. So every person is different. Quran says that in the heaven, it isn't as such that you've got three grades. You've got an economy class, a business class, and a first class. No. Says, in Jannat, mu'minun hum darajat. Every mu'min is a rank himself. It isn't as such that two mu'minin will be put into one rank. No, every mu'min is a rank. That is because of his iman. The stronger, the higher the iman of an individual, the higher the performance of an individual, the more the actions, that rank Allah will give to that individual. Now, mu'min, we cannot perceive what is his stage. Imam, impossible to perceive. Rasul, impossible to perceive. Allah also, we cannot understand and perceive his attributes. Now for this, we find in the teachings of Ahlul Bayt that Al-Mu'min A'zamu Hurmatan min Al-Ka'ba. Ka'ba, the house of Allah in Mecca, the most sacred spot on earth, says that there is nothing more sacred than Kaaba. Now says, a mu'min, just one random mu'min who has that iman and those fundamentals, says the sanctity of that one mu'min is more than Kaaba. Kaaba, towards which we all face for all our needs, for all our religious requirements. All these billions of Muslims worldwide, says that one Kaaba, that one random mu'min, his ihtiram, his greatness, his sanctity is higher than Kaaba. Now when that mal'oon Yazid la'natullahi alayh, after the tragedy of Karbala, when he says to Hazrat Zainab that this is the amount of money I'll give you, as take it as the blood money of Hussein and forgive. Here she says that Allah says the honor of just one random, a small mu'min, is more than Kaaba. You want to pay the price of Hussein's blood with these few gold coins? Impossible. Then when a random mu'min is greater than Kaaba, then what about Hussein? For Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, quoting from that book Kamilu Ziyarat, says that in this creation of Allah, everything has life. Quran also witnesses that. يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. That is, all that is in this great creation of Allah glorifies Him. Says that one day the land wherein Kaaba is located starts to speak. Says, I am this great beautiful spot on earth wherein the house of Allah is created, is located. When it was boasting, all of a sudden hears a voice saying, hush, quiet, what do you say? What is that voice and from where? Says, from Karbala. Says, my location, or the spot wherein Hussein ibn Ali is buried, in station, in rank, is higher than Kaaba. Because if Kaaba is Kaaba today, is because of Hussein ibn Ali. He gave that sacrifice and Kaaba was saved. He gave that sacrifice, Quran was saved. He gave that sacrifice, Deen was saved. This is something we read in Ziyarat Nahiyat al-Muqaddasa towards the end of it. Says that everything was saved because of Hussein. Takbir was saved because of Hussein. Allah was saved because of Hussein. Goodness is goodness today because of Hussein. So everything is because of Hussein. And turning back to that same glorious saying of our 8th Imam, he says that kulluna sufunun najat, all of us are the arcs of salvation. Hussein is different. Asra wa awsa, vast and fast. So that iman has to be secure. Says iman is light, mu'min is great, his sanctity is greater than Kaaba. And then says here in this glorious saying that in Masjid al-Haram, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, says, addressing the Kaaba, ma a'zamak wa a'zama hurmatak ala Allah, that what great honor you possess, Kaaba. But then concludes that honor of a mu'min is greater than you. That is, one random mu'min who possesses those fundamentals. Now looking into the sayings of Ma'sumeen, we find that how reluctant Allah is when it comes to seizing the soul of a mu'min. That is, the last moments of everyone's life, especially a mu'min. Now here says that, إِنَّ رَسُولَكَ صَادِقٌ. Here says that when Allah wants to take and seize the soul of a mu'min, He says that, I am reluctant. Allah is never reluctant to do anything. Says, on one occasion I am reluctant. Why is that He is reluctant? He is God. Whatever He wants, He can do. He says, I am reluctant because of that mu'min. I want to seize his soul because I love to meet him. But he wants to stay back. So that is where he becomes reluctant. He says that because it is his desire. He does not want to die. He wants to live a little bit longer. There I let go. Says, there I am reluctant to seize his soul or not. مَا تَرَدَّدْتُ فِي شَيْءٍ أَنَا فَاعِلُهُ كترددي على المؤمن لأني أحب لقاءه ويكره الموت. Says, I love to meet him, but that mu'min, he hates to die. So in that one mu'min says, I'm reluctant to do. Now, this imam, it's great. And he says that in one of the other glorious sayings that we have, Ishaq bin Ja'far, Imam Qasim alayhi salam's brother, he reports from his forefathers. Salawat. Says that on the day of judgment, quoting from the Holy Prophet, he says that on the day of judgment, Allah will complain. There are a few questions that we have to be ready for to answer on the day of judgment. A few questions. Now, what are the complaints? Very delicate point being mentioned over here. And if we could note that. Says that Allah, on the day of judgment in the hereafter, says that, why, addressing mu'mineen, he says that, why did you not come to visit me when I fell ill? Mu'min would say to Allah that, do you ever fell ill? You are God. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم, and so on and so forth. Allah never falls ill. He is never sick. Allah says, why did you not visit me when I was sick? And then he says, that fellow mu'min, when he had fallen ill, you did not come to visit him? Whence? That was me. Mu'min is great. And then he says that, had you come to visit that mu'min who had fallen ill, whatsoever needs, requirements, du'as, hajat you had you come to visit him, all of that would have been granted to you. So that is that high station of a mu'min which Allah mentioned. जी इसकी बैटरी गई है says that وعزتي وجلالي لو عدته لوجدتني عنده says that by my dignity, by my might, by my honor, had you visited that fellow mu'min, you would have found me with him. ثُمَّ لَتَكَفَّلْتُ بِحَوَائِجِكَ فَقَضَيْتُهَا لَكَ That one, that is, then if you presented your hajat, your wishes, all of them would have been granted to you. And that is, why is that? Says, وَذَلِكَ مِنْ كَرَامَةِ عَبْدِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِ That is because of that greatness which that mu'min possesses. So iman is great. Iman means one having faith in tawheed, oneness of God, having belief in the justice of God, believing in the concept of prophethood, that is, I believe in the first prophet Adam, I believe in the last one being the Holy Prophet, I believe in Amirul Mu'mineen being the first Imam, I believe in Imam Al-Asr being the last and the final Imam, and I believe in the Day of Judgment. This is that iman. That package you have faith in. With that a person will find eternity in the heaven. And if there is a shortfall in our performance, in our prayers, in our fast, in our day-to-day requirements and all those actions and amal, after seeing the punishment, a person will end up in the heaven. But if that package, that fundamental package was shaky and lacking, then that eternal prosperity also will not be possible. And then Allah concludes saying that إِيَّايَ زُرْتَ وَثَوَابُكَ عَلَيَّ says, now that you visited that fellow mu'min who had fallen ill, you have visited me. إِيَّايَ indeed, you have visited me. وَثَوَابُكَ عَلَيَّ and the reward of you paying a visit to that mu'min, that is upon me. So this is mu'min. Now that we understood who a mu'min is, then who is a Shia? Mu'min is a Shia. Wherever we find the word Shia in Quran, that is Shia. Wherever we find the word Muttaqeen in Quran, it means the Shias. Wherever we find the term Iman and Mu'min in Quran, it means the Shias. Now, according to the to our religion, every value, it is based on the faith in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So every value will be effective if a person is a mu'min. If a person does good without iman, it's going to be a waste, it will be worthless, no matter how much good that is. Now, the other thing which we ought to know over here is that with this understanding that we are the Shias, we will be forgiven, we think we are safe, this is, again, we have to correct this ideology, this thought. It was mentioned yesterday that just coming to this majlis of Aba Abdullah and not having that iman in his mission, not having iman in what he has taught, and just crying, well, it will benefit. At some point in our life, it will benefit. But if we want that maximum productivity, that iman has to be strong, and whatever he has taught, we have to learn and apply onto our daily program. As it was mentioned yesterday, Tawbah, it's that great grace of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on mankind. Now, anything we do, knowingly we do, willingly we do, will be forgiven, that is wrong. It covers only accidental damage. That if we have done something unknowingly, unwillingly, by mistake, and then we repent. Even the example of Hur, which is mentioned repeatedly, Hur, he did wrong. Even assuming he did wrong knowingly, but he corrected also knowingly. He corrected it in a way. Now that blessing which Allah had given to him, that is the blessing of life, he sacrificed his life to prove that he is right in his claim that he has corrected and he has submitted to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that is again the same concept of tawbah and obedience. He says, God, I did wrong, and the crime which he did was great. It was he who invited Aba Abdullah to Karbala. It was he who resulted in Aba Abdullah being killed. It was he who resulted in the household of Wahy being taken into captivity. So all these horrendous crimes were done by him, but he corrected himself. He was forgiven, as a result of which he also was elevated to that high rank. So, guna, crime, sin, wrong, if it is an accidental damage, then that will be covered by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but knowingly, willingly, if we do that wrong, that is not going to be covered. So looking into the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, we find that this is not the situation. Many of us are deceived by shaitan. We have to be very careful here, that in the light of the riwayat, let's see what expectations do Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam have from us. When we claim that we are a Shia, we are a mu'min, and that is the fundamentals are firm. Quoting from this book, Biharul Anwar. It's a lengthy hadith, and we'll try to shed some light on some phrases of it. Says that the qualities of a Shia. The first quality, Imam says, that is our sixth Imam, Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. Qala, Imam says, Imtahinu Shi'atana. Examine our Shias. Test them. How do we test Shias? Imam says, عِنْدَ مَوَاقِيتِ السَّلَوَاتِ, when it is time for prayers. كَيْفَ مُحَافَظَتَهُمْ عَلَيْهَا. How do they protect the prayers? That is, if it is time for prayers, what do I do? Do I continue with whatever I am doing? Or I leave everything aside and come towards prayer? Imam says, test that Shia of mine, that mu'min of mine, at the time of prayers. So, it's a very important lesson and a test which Imam mentions over here, importance that we have to give to prayers. So much of importance has been given to prayers. May that be in school, may that be in work, at work, in colleges and universities. When it is time for prayers, it is time for prayers. Everything has to be set aside. We have to give importance to that. With a lame excuse that if I pray, people are going to look at me, what will happen? If I pray now, it's job, maybe I'll lose it, let go. God is first. And if we give importance to prayers for the sake of Allah, He also opens up ways in a miraculous way. Says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. That is, whosoever fears Allah, He says that يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, He will make for him an outlet. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, and he will grant him sustenance from what, from where he never thought of. Amazing outlets Allah creates. That is, if we give importance to Allah in every stand, in every station, in every spot in our life, he will give importance to us as well. And then continues and says that إِلَىٰ أَسْرَارِنَا كَيْفَ حِفْظُهُمْ لَهَا عِنْدَ عَدُوِّنَا. And then see our Shias, how do they protect our secrets in front of our enemies? That is, if some secrets are given to them, do they leak them? Do they reveal them to them? Now first of all, it's this prayer. We have to give importance to it. Hadith says that if we stand in worship before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and our moods are wandering around, he says that, does that person not fear that I can change him into a donkey? That is, someone who has stood in worship before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and he is talking and communicating to him and his mood is wandering around, that is the height of disrespect that we are showing to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now if I talk to you and I look at somewhere else and my mood is not towards you, my focus is not towards you, definitely you will be offended. Now will not Allah get offended? So do we not deserve such a punishment that we stand in the presence of Allah? Now in one of these ahadiths that we have, a woman was brought to the presence of Rasulullah. And she had committed a horrendous crime, got pregnant from haram. She gave birth to that child. She suffocates that child in a jar of vinegar. And when this crime was brought to Rasulullah to punish that lady, now whatever the verdict was, then he says to her, do you know why you committed all these crimes, one after the other? It is because of your Asr prayers. You did not say them, or you were used to not saying them. Not giving importance to prayers has such an effect in our life. So we have to give importance to prayers. When it is time for prayers, say them on time. And it was mentioned repeatedly that having our prayers accepted at the time of Fazila, we have more chances of them getting accepted. Because at that time of Fazila, we find that the Imam of age, who is perfect, who is that Insan-e-Kamil, he says his prayers on time. And when he says his prayers on time, a connection is created from Arsh to this land, to this earth. And by the presence of the Imam, our prayers also are accepted blindly. So more chances of our prayers getting accepted if we say them on time. So no matter where we are, if we give importance to prayers, everything also will be eased for us. So that is the first quality which Imam mentions over here, that you want to test who our Shias are. Examine them at the time of prayers and see how they behave. One of the Ma'sumeen, all of them are Ma'sum, all of them are Mazloom. All of them were killed, all of them were martyred. Amirul Mu'mineen and Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, we find a bloodshed in their killing. All the others were poisoned in a brutal way. Our fourth Imam, Sajjad alayhi salatu wassalam, was killed by Marwan la'natullahi alayhi, was poisoned by him and is martyred, dies in the year 94 after Hijrah, either the 18th or the 25th of Muharram. And the year when the Imam is martyred, that year is also named as Sanatul Fuqaha. Sanatul Fuqaha because many of the Fuqaha, or the history says that all of the jurists, the Fuqaha who were in Medina, were killed by the Marwan dynasty. So that also, like what we see in happening nowadays, how Shias are brutally killed and martyred, especially in Pakistan. The same tactic was being used by Marwan just to get rid of the Fuqaha of Mu'mineen. Imam was killed, and also all of the Fuqaha were killed. For that reason, that year was known as Sanatul Fuqaha, and it is known as Sanatul Fuqaha in our history. Imam, with all that greatness he has, with all that mazlumiyat he possesses, the teachings that he carried out, his mission after Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, in the best way, by ways of du'as, by ways of education, worship, name is Sayyidus Sajideen, Zainul Abideen, the beauty of the worshippers, or the chief of all those who worshipped. We find that it was mentioned yesterday that he cried throughout his life for Abu Abdullah. He is one of those eyewitnesses who saw what unfolds in Karbala. Now, after Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, in a talk that we have with Muhammad Hanafiya, and when Abdul Malik bin Marwan, he comes to Kaaba, and then he sees that Imam Sajjad is also present in Masjid al-Haram, and for him, Haji is present over there, they open up the space for him to perform his tawaf. And they showed so much of respect to Imam Sajjad. Here this Marwan, la'natullah alayhi, he says that, who is that person? Farazdaq, this noble poet of Ahlul Bayt, was present in that Masjid al-Haram. He says to Marwan, you don't know him? He says, no, he was lying. He knew who he was. He knew who Imam Sajjad is. Then he starts this famous qasida of his and says, هَذَا الَّذِي تَعْرِفُ الْبَطْحَى وَتْأَتَهُ. You don't know him, Marwan? This is someone who this Batha, this land of Makkah, knows him. وَالْبَيْتْ يَعْرِفُهُ وَالْحِلُّ وَالْحَرَمُ. This house of Allah, Kaaba, knows him. Hill knows him, Haram knows him. هَذَا بْنُ خَيْرِ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ كُلِّهِمُ. He is the son of the best of servants of all. That is, all the best of servants of Allah. He is their son. هَذَا التَّقِيُ النَّقِيُ الطَّاهِرُ الْعَلَمُ. He is that taqi, the pure. He is that naqi. And he is the purest. The purest is his title. هَذَا بْنُ فَاطِمَ إِن كُنْتَ جَاهِلَهُ. He is the son of Fatima if you don't know him. بِجَدِّهِ أَنْبِيَاءُ اللَّهِ قَدْ خُتِمُ. Says, you don't know him? His grandfather is the seal of the Prophet, and upon him the prophethood ends. Says that, لَيْسَ قَوْلُكَ مَنْ هَذَا بِظَائِرِهِ الْعُرْبُ تَعْرِفُ مَنْ أَنْكَرْتَ وَالْعَجَمُ. Says, you don't know him? Arabs, they know him. Ajams, they know him. Everyone knows him. That is the beauty of this great Sayyid, Sayyid al-Sajideen. And then says that, إِذَا رَأَتْهُ قُرَيْشٌ قَالَ قَائِلُهَا. Says, if Quraysh, they saw him, they would say, إِلَى مَكَارِمِ هَذَا يَنْتَهِي الْكَرَمُ. That is the beauty which this Sayyid possesses. If you analyze all the goodness present in this creation of Allah, the height of all goodness is present in this Sayyid al-Sajideen. And then says that, يَكَ مَنْ يَشْكُرَ اللَّهِ. Says that, فِي كُلِّ بَدْءٍ مَخْتُومٌ بِهِ الْكَلِمُ إِنْ عُدَّ أَهْلُ التُّقَى كَانُوا أَئِمَّتَهُمْ. Says that, if you were to count who are the best, the purest, the choicest of Allah, he says, if you were to count them, if you were to enlist them, says, they are your imams. أَوْ قِيلَ مَنْ خَيْرُ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ قِيلَ هُمُ. Says, if it was addressed to you that who are the best of the people among the creation of Allah, they are these ma'sumeen alayhim as-salam. In that debate, when we see that with Muhammad Hanafiya about the imamat of our fourth imam, imam says, come on, let's go to Hajar al-Aswad. And then say that, if we'll ask Hajar al-Aswad. And if we get a reply from there, we know who the imam after Imam Hussein is. Muhammad Hanafiya and Imam Sajjad, the two come to Hajar al-Aswad. Muhammad Hanafiya addresses and asks, waits for an answer, doesn't get an answer. Imam Sajjad speaks to the stone and says that reply. Hears as if the stone is about to fall to the ground, comes to voice and says and bears witness to the imamat of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wassalam. So that is the imam. Witness of the imamat of Imam, born by Allah, by Rasulullah, by everything present. We find that on a day like today, which is the fourth of the month of Muharram, Ubaidullah bin Ziyad la'natullah alayh, he congregates the people of Kufa in a mosque, in the mosque. There delivers a talk, and after his manhus talk, we find that 13,000 men, they get together and join the army of Umar al-Sa'd, la'natullah alayh. Shimr ibn Zil-Jawshan, la'natullah alayh, with 4,000 men. Yazid bin Rikab, with 2,000. Hasin bin Namir, with 4,000. And Mazayir bin Rahina, comes up with 3,000 men. And all of them, they send their men to Umar al-Sa'd. One of those who we talked about yesterday and today, who was among the first and the foremost who opened this hole, is Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. It was mentioned that some manners, some characteristics, if we possess, they help. One of them, it's being well-mannered, being obedient. Hur possessed that. On the second day of Ashur Muharram, in that conversation we find with Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, we see that Hur is present with his 1,000 men. Abu Abdullah is also present with his 70 odd men. It is time for Salat. Imam says, Hur, you with your 1,000 men, go and lead and say your prayers there. Me with my 70 men, I'll say my prayers here. Hur says, Yabna Rasulullah, is it possible that you be present and I say my prayers separately? You are the grandson of Rasulullah. You lead, I'll follow you. I'll join you. Now if this one piece of message and news was given to Umar al-Sa'd that Hur has joined his prayers with the Imam, that was sufficient for him as a crime to be beheaded. That is that adab which he possesses, manners which he possesses. Now after the prayers, here they have a heated talk. All of a sudden Imam says to Hur, Sakalatka ummuk, that is, may you die, may your mother cry on you. In reply, Hur says, you said something to me. I can't say that to you because your mother is Zahra. Your mother is the daughter of Rasulullah. That is that adab. And on the day of Ashura, we find that this adab of Hur saved him. He repents and he comes to Abu Abdullah and says with his hands on his head, says, Ya Abu Abdullah, is there any way that I could be forgiven? Imam says, come down, dismount from your horse. Hur says that I will be a good servant for you if I am as I am on this horse. Allow me to be like that. Imam says, Allah has forgiven you. Now this is that grace of an Imam, which is a reflection of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that someone who has so much of wrong in him, has sincerely repented, has come to the household of wahy and asks him to be forgiven, and they are forgiven. This is that grace of Allah towards mu'mineen. He says, okay, now that I am forgiven, allow me to present myself to serve you. Imam says that you are a guest of ours, and normally when a guest comes, there are some etiquettes to be observed. to offer you with some water. We haven't got anything to serve. Horses. No. Allow me to present myself. And as among the first of the shuhada who sincerely, truly gave away his life for Abu Abdullah. That is tawbah, repentance. Now someone who was deep down in the hellfire, moments before, ends up in the highest locations and positions in the heaven, just because of that sincere repentance and tawbah which he has. Among the shuhada who gave life on that day of Ashura, we find the sons of Zainab al-Kubra alayha salam, Aun and Muhammad. In reality, Zainab, she is a partner of Abu Abdullah in this entire mission of Karbala. Or the tragedy of Karbala comes to an end on the day of Ashura, but who takes charge of it? It's Zainab al-Kubra. She is the successor of the Imam for a duration of time after Imam, and she takes the charge. When it is time for Bani Hashim to present themselves, we find that Zainab, she comes, brings her sons, Aun and Muhammad. Now she is a mother, makes them wear their shroud, their kafan, and brings them to her brother, that these are my sons being sacrificed to you, and pleads to their son, to her sons, that I don't want to be defamed before my brother. I want you to present yourself, fight in the way of Allah. And after the shahadat of the two sons, and on that day when the heads were being distributed, we find that there are two heads as lost property. Everyone is pleading and crying for someone, but these two heads are there. And when inquired, who are these heads? Says it's Aun and Muhammad. Don't they have anyone to cry for? Says yes, they have a mother. Who is she? Zainab. But when they come to see Zainab, she's got someone else to cry for. She doesn't even cry for her own children, and that is Aun and Muhammad. And on this day of Ashura, this day of Masa'ib, we find that when everything has ended, the last one to perish is Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. The first one to start is Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, being the first person in this battle, and he starts everything himself. He is the last one to end. Zuljanah is the horse of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. When Abu Abdullah was hit by that mal'oon, when that three-headed spear lands onto the chest of Abu Abdullah, he bows down, takes that arrow out from behind his back, says blood gushes out from his chest, and stone was thrown onto his forehead. To wipe the blood which was gushing out from his forehead, he bends down to clean it with his shirt, and then another mal'oon, he hits him. Imam has fallen down, is totally broken down, falls onto the horse. Now this horse is as such that when Imam is falling down in that pit, comes closer to the edge of the pit so that Imam is not hurt when he falls down from that horse. So even that animal had that much of sense and that much of understanding, the Imam shouldn't be hurt. And when the Imam falls down, this horse, Umar Isad from there says that that is that horse of Rasulullah, says that, let's see what it does. That horse comes by the body of Abu Abdullah, neighing and crying, wipes the head and the reins of his with the blood of Abu Abdullah and starts neighing. Here Imam says that, do you know what that horse is saying? Says, Az-Zalimatu Zalima. That is complain, complain. What is that complain? Says, complain of a nation who killed the grandson of the Prophet, and at the same time they recite the Quran which was revealed on that Prophet. So that is that complain.
says this horse, it comes towards the camps. Now here Zainab Kubra says that it seems that Hussein's horse has come. Says that to Sakina. Says, it seems your father has returned. Sakina, she rushes out. She sees that the horse has come, but without the rider. Comes to the horse and says that, Ya Jawad Abi, my father's horse, Asuqiya Abi Am Qutila Atshana, that I know that my father is killed, but tell me whether or not my father was quenched or not. Umm Kulsoom, she rushes up. She raises the cry of Wa Muhammada, Salla alayka malaikatu sama, cries, starts pleading. Hamaz khaymaha birun davidan, Vali salar Zainab ra nadidan. Women, children, they rush out of the camps, but they do not see the salar, the chief of Zainab. Yaki guyat faras baba yamaku. One of them says that, oh horse, where is my father? Yaki guyat faras maula yamaku. The other says that, oh horse, where is my master? Ey asp azizo sarvaranku. The other says that, oh horse, where is that beloved of mine? Where is that master of mine? Margam berasad baradaranku. One of the others says that, I wish I died, where is my brother? Ey ask to be wafa nabudi. Now says that, O horse, you were never disloyal to us. You were the loyal horse of our grandfather, Rasulullah. You were the loyal horse of my father. Ma ba ma tu jafa nimi nimudi. You were never disloyal to us. Hame az khaymaha birun davidan, Vali salar Zainab ra nadidan. Now here that cry was raised, Wa qatila wa ghurbata, Wa bu'd safara wa tula kurba. And we find that the same thing is, the same theme is also seen in this ziyarat nahiyat al-muqaddasa recited by our 12th Imam. What does Imam say? Imam says, wa asra'a farasaka sharidan ila khiyamik. Your horse, it rushes to your camps. Qasidan muhamhiman baqiya. Neighing, crying. Falamma ra'ayna an-nisa jawadaka makhziya. Now that when the women see that your horse has come without the rider, وَنَذَرْنَا سَرْجِكَ عَلَيْهِمَ الْوِيَّةِ بَرَزْنَا مِنَ الْخُدُورِ. They come out of the camps beating and wailing, crying, أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها. يا الله 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 يا الله. إلهي, by those who were waiting for the Imam of their time, Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. We are waiting for the Imam of our time, Waliy Asr. Hasten in his return. Ya Allah, by the tears shed for Aba Abdullah al-Husayn, count us among the best of supporters, best of servants, best of Muslims who ever existed. The wrong that we have done, Ya Allah, by Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, forgive us. Count us among the true who have repented in your service. Ya Allah, all those who are ill and ailing, specially present in this majlis, all those who are ill and ailing and who count on such majalis, grant them shifa. All those who have passed away, Ya Allah, by Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, elevate their ranks. Ilahi, by the shuhada of Karbala. Ilahi, by Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Grant honor, dignity to Islam and Muslims worldwide. Defame kuffar, mushrikeen, munafiqeen worldwide. All those who are killing and hurting Shias wheresoever on this land they be, clean the surface of this earth by their presence. Ilahi, bihaqq al-Hussein, ishfi sadr al-Hussein, bizuhur al-Hujjah, وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان